I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Gut Glow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
Although I went through a tough time, it showed me how someone could still love me at my lowest and at my weakest, because the love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
So deep down, we all know what we want in life. We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a healthy and fulfilled life where self-care is a top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season of the Gut Glow Podcast is brought to you with thanks to Ireland's leading pharmacy chain, Lloyds Pharmacy. We're finally getting some sun and it's so important to keep our skin protected. Luckily, Lloyds Pharmacy's highly trained skin experts can provide the best SPF advice and tailored recommendations to suit you and your family. Visit lloydspharmacy.ie for all your sun care and skin care needs. Lloyds Pharmacy, say hello to the people that know. This week on the Gut Glow Podcast, we're asking, how can we be our own best friend? My dearest friend, Claire Solon, has come back for this episode. There is so much that I wanted to catch up with Claire about this week. We were chatting a couple of months ago and she had mentioned that she was going through a bit of a tough time. So today we talk about how your mental health is a journey. You don't just get better and live happily ever after. So we're deep diving into her coping mechanisms, the signs she looks out for, and how she manages to get back to a happy place. I've also received so many messages from people who have asked me to do an episode about being single in your 30s and 40s. So we speak about single life today and all that brings to a woman in her 40s. I love Claire's honesty. Her life is so beautiful and she is on a journey. And one of the things that I respect most about her is how she is able to speak her truth and how she has come to a place of true acceptance and love for herself. And I think we can all learn so much from her. So let's get into the conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Claire Solon, I am so ready for this conversation today. I am so glad to welcome you back to the Gut Glow. And I've always said that I feel like our episode back, season one, episode four, helped the Gut Glow become what it is today. I really feel like that was a pivotal moment for my podcast. So thank you. Thank you for being such an amazing friend and such a great guest. And I'm so delighted to have you back today.
What an honor to hear you say that. And as much as it was a pivotal moment for the Gut Glow, it was one for me too, because it gave me an opportunity to share, I suppose, the deepest and darkest stuff that I'd been carrying and be authentic and be vulnerable. And I got some amazing messages, some DMs that brought me to tears from people who said, hey, Claire, listen to you and completely can relate to your story. Thank you for sharing.
I have to say that it was so intimate, first of all, and I can see how people got that feeling from listening to that podcast because we're friends. It felt like a very, almost a private conversation that people were able to listen to, but be able to, I suppose, be brought into that world, to be brought into your story. And I thought you were so brave in telling it because it was so raw, you know. And just for anyone who hasn't listened, let's just fill them in on a little bit about what
you know, you brought that day and what your story was.
Sure. So in 2012, my world as I knew it came crashing down. I was in a relationship with a man who I thought I'd go the distance with, and I was doing a job that was my dream, and I was on a breakfast show, and we were only 2 years in. So I was thinking to myself, do you know what? Life is exactly where I needed to be. Within a couple of months of each other, I lost the relationship and I lost the job. The show got cancelled. And it was one of the most traumatizing experiences, the most traumatizing experience of my life. For the first couple of months, I kept swimming, kept swimming, kept swimming. I kept my job with the radio station in a different capacity. So I felt like I'd lost out, but I was still there. I was still present. But very quickly, things went downhill and I was suffering acute anxiety and depression.
And you spoke on that podcast about the journey you went on in the years after that. And it was so inspiring to hear how you built yourself back up. And God, it really had to get worse before it got better for you. You had to go within. And I think we can all relate to that, and I actually wrote this down, that the growth is in the pain. And oh God, why do we have to go through these horrible things in order to grow? But you blossomed and you moved to London. You got a really big job. We were speaking over the last few months, and I think it's really important to say that you don't just get over something and then live happily ever after. You've had wobbles since, and you're still speaking your truth and you're still being your authentic self by telling people that, yes, I did get over that bad patch, but, you know, there has been bumps along the way since then too.
Massively. When everything fell apart for me, I thought it was the end. I remember going to see, I got into therapy, which, by the way, I think I have mentioned this before, but it is my proudest achievement. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, Tanzania, and that comes a very close second to going and sitting down and having therapy with Anne-Marie for 3 years. I would recommend it to anyone. It is freedom and liberation in a room where nothing can touch you. You walk away feeling physically lighter. So when I look back, obstacles are detours in the right direction. My life was over, or so I thought. But actually, I was just being pointed in the right direction. I moved to London, and you're right, I never had the confidence or the belief in myself to move to London. I always used to visit London. I'd go, God, I could live there. Anyway, back to my old life. And when my coach and mentor and great friend, Dennis, said to me, Claire, you're more scared of success than you are of failure. That really rang true. So I moved on Valentine's Day 2015, so I could always remember the date. Nice romantic date in the calendar that me and my new city got to know each other. And it's been an upward trajectory for me since I moved over there. But my self-development has taught me that happiness is an illusion. You don't get there and stay there.
Mm.
So it's not about the destination, happiness. It's about the journey and how you meet your appropriate edge and what you learn from the pain and the suffering. Mm. And I've had a stressful time in the last 6 or 7 months. I'm an exec producer, so I look after programs for BBC Radio 2, which is Europe's biggest radio station. So that's a lot of pressure. And then I'm also taking care of podcasts. And so in January, I had been okay in the pandemic. I'd been meditating in the morning with a group on Zoom. I'd been going out exercising. I felt like I'd gotten through it, and actually I'd enjoyed my time. away from the rat race. But actually, in January, I started to see physical manifestations of stress. So I had palpitations. I had a twitch in my eye that wouldn't go away. I had some eczema that appeared under my eye and on my wrists. And I was like, this is like, I'm in fight or flight. And my body is shouting at me. You need to, you know, you need to stop and slow down. At the same time, I was having real pangs of jealousy, of envy. I was looking over my wall at my neighbors and saying, I want that. Why don't I have that life? Why hasn't this happened for me? And resenting people for their successes. And that was an old feeling, an old pattern for me, because I'd shed that stuff and I'd found my own path and I was happy in it. I was happy in my lane. I also started to ruminate. Playing old stories, George. Playing old failures over and over. Old relationships, people I hadn't thought about, negative energies that I hadn't thought about for a long time were appearing in my dreams.
Is that where the rumination happens for you in your dreams, or is it 24/7?
It starts in the dream and you wake up and you think, whoa, I haven't thought about that for a while. And then that comes back as one of your thoughts during the day.
Okay.
And when you're in a dark space, you're unable to separate yourself from your thoughts, right? So when I'm in a good positive space, I'm thinking to myself, just a thought. I have thousands and thousands of them a day. Change the record, you know, get out of it. But when you're in a bad space or a declining space and your mental health is not robust, those thoughts get in on you and they change your mood.
Oh my God, this is it. I've never thought about it this way before.
They upset you emotionally. And then you carry that upset into other aspects of your life. So you go and see your partner and you're like, Adam or her, or at the kids or in your job. You take something personally that you wouldn't normally have taken personally. And so things start to feel angsty. And when there's more angst in situations, there's more anxiety. And the overthinking then begins.
So in January, February, March, you could see the signs of this. Is that because of what you went through in 2012? There was just a red flag. You can catch yourself almost.
Exactly. And what was interesting to me was that even though I recognized these are old feelings, these are old familiar feelings of darkness, I wasn't in a space where I could manage them.
Okay.
I remember watching Caroline Flack's documentary. This was very, I remember watching her documentary and really, like, I'm an empath, like feeling the sadness from her mum and her sister and empathizing with her and how sad and alone she must have felt at that time. And it just played into the feelings of darkness that I was having. And from there, I just remember going down, down, down. What I wasn't doing, George, what I didn't manage to do is identify this and speak to somebody. So I was alone. I was lonely. I was feeling intense feelings of loneliness, but I didn't have the strength to reach out and ask for help.
Is that, were you missing acknowledging that this was happening? Were you pushing it away, or had you acknowledged it, but you weren't getting to that next step?
I think I was a little bit ashamed to admit.
Right.
That
I'm back here.
It's back. Yeah. How can it be back? I meditate. I exercise. I have a good diet. I have a good job. I promote well-being as a person. I live this stuff.
Yeah.
How could this darkness have returned? And feeling, ooh, here's something. And feeling like the victim. Why me? What have I done? And sitting in that and sort of wrapping myself, like a cloak, I just wrapped myself up in it and wallowed in it.
And when you say you're ruminating, what do you ruminate about?
The maddest of things, right? Everything from the fact that I have been, for the majority of my life, single. So the relationships that I've had in the past have not worked out and have been quite damaging. So I will run scenarios like fights with partners over in my head, or the breakup over in my head. I will go as far as to ruminate about the time I wore a pair of high heels and it was wet and I slipped on the tarmac, fell on my face outside a pub, and I can remember a guy holding a pint looking over at me, maybe with admiration to begin with, and then whoop, smash down, and I look up and I could see him going, ooh, ooh. And I will replay the intense embarrassment and shame that I felt at that scenario. So then what happens is the story moves on. I forget the story, but the feeling of shame and embarrassment lingers.
Yes. And when we were speaking, I told you that I would often get messages from people to say, please do a podcast about being single in your 30s or 40s. Please do a podcast with somebody who is not living the stereotypical life. We exist, you know? Yes. And I ran this by you just to make sure it was okay to ask you about being single. You're 40 and how you feel about that. And if you feel kind of on the outside looking in, or I look at you and you're the friend that I want to hang out with. You're the friend I want to talk to because I love you. I think you're the most incredible person. I love being in your company. I wish I could see you every day. But, you know, when you look at yourself, do you see somebody who's single, or have you, where are you at?
I have struggled and do struggle with being single. However, I realize that I am judging myself through the eyes of others on this. So if I am to sit, right, and I have to really analyze how I feel about being alone, I enjoy it. Single is a privilege. I don't have to speak to anybody when I make choices in my life. You know, I am free to do what I like. And I also have the optimism of knowing that ahead of me is that amazing connection with somebody, that honeymoon period, you know, those first dates, like that's all ahead of me. But I feel for women in particular, because we are, society deems us less than if we're single, particularly for us in our 30s and me at 40. People are like, what's wrong with her? She must be absolutely mad. Why is she on her own? There must be something wrong with her. And that's the really damaging stuff that would have been haunting me in the last couple of months.
Right.
When I have, you know, when my mental health dipped, and I was feeling very low, these dark thoughts would come back and go, but what is it, Claire? Why is it that you can't meet that right person? Why are you on your own still? Is it always going to be like this for you?
But you're thinking about what other people are thinking.
Yes. So I believe it's my perception that we are encouraged, particularly as women, you would strive to be 50% of something. You should be 50% of a relationship, of a couple. That is your goal and your aim. But what we should be saying to girls as young as like Pia's age, the relationship with yourself is paramount. Mm-hmm. You should strive to be 100% you. And then when you are that, you will find somebody not to fill a gap in yourself, but to complement and support you and respect you and meet you where you're at here at 100%.
Because I was writing a blog for the website the other day, and it was only when I actually wrote the words that I was like, oh, wow. And it was, I said, you know, in the past, before I got sick, I have been excited about my future. So I was excited about my future on my wedding day, you know, when I was marrying Jamie. I was also excited about my future when I was having Pia. But the first time I was excited about my future, as in just for me, like 100% me, not 50% of something else, was in my recovery. When self-care started to come in and I started to really get to know myself and love myself. And, you know, I really felt then, wow, I'm excited about what I have to offer to the world, you know, my internal world, what I can offer to people. And you're so right what you say there, that you got to get to know yourself in order, I think, to get to that place. Or give yourself permission. You know, it's okay to be excited about what you at solo have to offer. And it was funny, I wrote this down when we were on the phone during the week. You said, why is Solan so solo? But you're so, I feel like, of course, there's downsides to being single. There's downsides to being in a relationship. But I feel like you in yourself are comfortable with who you are.
And I haven't come to this realization or this place alone. And that's what I want to say here today. Get help. Whatever you need to discover your identity and to become the best version of you, do it. Give yourself permission. You know, therapy, I mentioned it. Life coaching. I can't tell you how valuable my time has been with life coaches and mentors over the years. I remember when I lost my job as a radio presenter, I remember sitting in front of a life coach and she said to me, who are you? Outside, she was like, okay, leave the job to one side. Tell me who Claire is outside of that. I had nothing for her. I couldn't even, I just was in floods of tears and I had no idea who I was without that job. And that's what I've now spent time discovering. I have actively created space for me, myself, and I. We now, me and I, go on dates together. We have glasses of rosé drinking in the evening sun here in London. Well, we're having our dinner. We listen to podcasts together. I go out and have a cold water swim in the local outdoor pool. We've joined Toot Camp. I live in Tooting in southwest London. So it's a boot camp called Toot Camp. We go.
Oh, how nice.
But like and ordinarily I might have found friends to go, hey, come swimming with me. Hey, come and join a boot camp with me. So that then actually the experience is not mine, but actually it's ours. So it's kind of diluted a little bit. But I've really made an effort to go solo. And it has paid off so much. I even find people, now that I am more comfortable within myself, the anxiety is gone. I trust myself. There's confidence there in me and who I am and what I'm offering. And this also, girls, by the way, 40 is an absolute gift. When you turn 40, everything fits. I fit my skin. I fit in life. And it's just like, yeah, there's just that swag, you know, the self-assuredness that didn't exist before is back. And people respond to me better because I'm friends with myself.
I'll get straight back to that conversation. First, I wanted to thank Lloyd's Pharmacy for supporting The Good Glow. Do you struggle to perfect your skincare routine? Find it hard to choose the best products to suit your skin? Well, you don't need to. Lloyd's Pharmacy offer one-to-one private consultations with their highly trained skin consultants who can advise the best routine and products to suit your skincare needs. Pop in and ask today. Many of their pharmacies are open late and on weekends. For a full list of services and latest mega deals, head over to lloydspharmacy.ie.
And you recommended another amazing book to me that I'm halfway through at the moment, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And in it, she says, when a woman finally learns that pleasing the world is impossible, she becomes free to learn how to please herself. And I'm listening to it on Audible, I'm like, Solan could have written this book. It's like listening to you speak. Let's talk about loneliness for a minute, because I think whether you're in a relationship or not, over the last year and a half, we've all felt that loneliness. For you, over the last few months, I mean, do you have like a routine at the weekend? Like you said, you're your own best friend, you do nice things. Do you ever get lonely within that alone time?
Yes.
Okay.
Oftentimes. And you know, look, let's be honest, it's difficult in these pandemic times. You know, the park is or the coffee, local coffee shop is really where we gather. Mm-hmm. And so you see all manner of life in those places. So I'm queuing at the coffee shop and I see couples, you know, or parents with a young child in a buggy. And I do get a pang in my heart. Like, I just think, God, I would love that so much. I would love to be loved and I would love to be a mother. And I go for my walk. I do a fake commute if I'm working from home. And so I do a little lap at a park. And first thing in the morning, seeing couples just waking up together, and they're just, sometimes they're chatting or sometimes they're just walking beside each other with a cup of coffee in their hand. Or there's Wimbledon, you know, you always see when Wimbledon starts, people get out playing tennis. So all the courts are busy. People are playing tennis at 8 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, like I do. I feel, but you know, okay, so here's the thing. The choice, and I feel like now, because I've been able to bounce back up from my period of depression and low mood, I'm now back and I can say to myself, flip it, right? You're feeling that loneliness now. A, how are you going to temper that? You're going to listen to a podcast? Get some Brené Brown on, girl. Come on, get a super soul conversation going on here. Come on. Read one of those 25 books that are on the bookcase that you just stare at. Or flip the loneliness and say, right, it's just you now. You're alone, but it won't always be like this. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass. So for the time that you wish that you had somebody here, remember, there's also going to be a time when that person is here and you're going, jeez, if I just had half an hour on my own, I'd be so happy.
I think, do you think that you've gotten to that place, and that's such a great place to be, the power of trusting the universe. I feel like you gave me the book, Gabby Bernstein, The Universe Has Your Back. I read it. I adored it. And it's become kind of ingrained in me now to trust the universe, which was such a gift. Thank you so much. But so when something goes wrong for me, I'm saying to myself, okay, this is shit, this is shit. Oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My life is over. You know, what? I'll never recover. I'll never be the same again. And then I go, wait, I have been here before. I have hit rock bottom and I have found a way back to being happy and everything being okay. But I almost had to learn that. And like what you're saying there about being in the coffee shop and the thoughts, oh, blah, 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 and you're spiraling. You can say, no, it's all meant to be this way. And my future self is getting to the place where I want to be. Do you know what I'm trying to say here?
100%. A wise old owl said to me lately, envy is looking and wishing for other people's blessings, but actually missing your own. So if I'm standing in the queue at the coffee shop, looking at other people's journeys and lives manifesting in front of me, I've turned my back on my own path and my own blessings. Trusting that the universe has your back is such a powerful place to be, George. It's so powerful. Like you say, when things go wrong, right? You know, okay, like you take this down to brass tacks, right? You miss a bus, yeah? Or you miss a deadline in life. Or you try to get a booking in a restaurant and it doesn't happen. Or you apply for a job and it doesn't happen. You could sit and you could say, well, with my glass half empty, this is so shit. Can't believe it. Typical me, spiral, spiral, spiral. Or you say, aha. It's merely a redirection. Mm. My path is that away. There is a better job. There is a faster bus. There is a learning for me in the fact that I didn't meet the deadline. So I need to actually look at the way that I'm working and say, am I leaving things till the last minute? Clearly I am. And I can do my job in a better way. There are no mistakes, only learnings.
Yes. And what do you think, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic. Thankfully, you've come out of that space that you were in at the start of the year. What's the kind of narrative in your mind now? Are you looking ahead? Are you excited for the future? Like, where do you see yourself going now? Or do you even think about that?
I've stopped.
Mm.
Here's something that I remind myself of daily. Make peace with uncertainty. People are saying to me, Claire, you're single. There's a can't believe you're single. Can't believe you're single. No way. Are you on the apps? No. I'm not on the apps, right? Because for a long time, people kept saying to me, you'll find a fella on the apps, get on the apps, get on Tinder, get on Hinge. He's on there. But actually, I need to stop fantasizing about the fairy tale and say, I have no idea where love's going to come from. And I'm just going to let it show up in my life. If I focus on the future, George, or if I ruminate and worry about what has been in the past, like, you know, if I look back and say, oh, you know, a yellow brick road of broken relationships, Claire, what's your issue? I'm going to be in a shit space. I'm going to be in a bad headspace. So for me to be the best version of myself, I just stay in the present as much as possible.
Do you think in the past that you could have settled And you didn't.
100%. I could be, and this is what my mentor often says to me, Claire, you could be married with kids now. You could have, several times over. But actually, you've made a choice. You've made an investment in yourself, and you've dived into this self-development world. And the thing about the self-development world is, if you start to unpick and unpack all of the stuff within you, so the traumas, the grief, the anger, the emotions, if you start to go in and explore yourself at that really deep level, it's tough, but it means that you are going to emerge a different person. And the chances are your vibration's going to be higher. So if I'm a light seeker, there's a light seeker out there somewhere looking for me. So if I can be the best version of me, then I can meet the best person for me. That's how I see it.
Wow, that's so exciting. That is so exciting and so true what you say. Like all the work that you've put into yourself over the last few years is bringing you to a place where you're ready to meet somebody that's there too, which is sounds like he's amazing.
He's absolutely amazing. He's evaded capture so far. He's in the long grass, but he'll be out soon. I was just going to say, I've got a good one, which me and some of me single pals whip out every so often. Better on the shelf than in the wrong cupboard, lads. You know?
Do you prefer hanging around with single people, or are you... Go on, tell us the truth.
Sometimes I do. Like, I have a bunch of girls who I was in DCU with. Word to my DCU women, we've got a WhatsApp group, and all of the girls have now had babas, and two had a really tough journey to get there, so had fertility treatment and it worked, and I'm now Auntie Claire to the most amazing, you know, babas and toddlers. But it's tough. It's hard to be with them, you know, because it takes me to a space of envy and jealousy again sometimes. So I like being with parents, but like it is tough, lads, you know, because for us singletons, right, we're talking to you parents and we might end up having what could be like a 10-minute anecdote turns into an hour. Because you've got to like, you've got to grab the baby, grab the bottle, grab the nappy. Where were we? Sorry, you were saying you're not on the apps. Remind me again, which app? What? So selfishly, it's easier sometimes to be with the singletons. However, us singletons then can sometimes wallow a little bit, you know.
Yeah. See, I think as a married person, like I want to hang out with you on a Saturday night because I want to escape, you know, the baby talk, the school talk, all that stuff. Like you're my ideal person that I want to hang out with. When you speak about your mentor, I almost feel like it's yourself talking back to yourself in the mirror.
George, that's a really great observation because that's exactly what Dennis does for me. He holds up a mirror. I'll say to him, this is going on. And he goes, okay. And up comes the mirror and he goes, this is why this is happening. Like, so for instance, he would be able to point out to me, there were many friendships in my life, which were very codependent. And I had no idea. You know, those friends that like, who maybe are on the fringes of your life, but they're just still there just because, you know, you got history with them. But actually, are they serving you? Do you walk away from seeing them going, oof, got me cup filled up there? And you know, are you doing the same for them? Are you actually lifting them up? Do they feel drained when they leave you? So you're absolutely right. I'm doing a life coaching course online at the moment, and it is my aspiration and my dream to be able to coach people. And I also feel, and I would like to say this to other people who feel like they're going through stuff that is really challenging, when you go through stuff and come out the other side, your gratitude will flow. And when you are in gratitude mode, things happen for you. So you will be grateful. You will live a better life, but you will also be able to love and to serve people around you. You'll be a better mother, sister, wife, daughter. And like, what else is our, why else are we here as human beings but to serve each other and to love and treat each other with compassion?
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's what I wanted to say to you today. You know, when I think about people who've made an impact on my life, like obviously it's Pia, my mom, you know, Jamie, those people that are in my family that I love and are around me every single day. But you have made such an incredible impact on my life. You know, you have been such a big part of my journey over the last 3 years. We don't talk to each other all the time, but the times that you have showed up for me and the things that you have said have changed how I feel about my life. And I want you to know, I think we should tell people, you know, people in our lives that have made an impact on us. I think we should tell, all we have is today. We need to tell people.
So true. And can I ask you, how do you feel now with the success of the Good Glow, with your recovery from cancer, and how are you?
I suppose the Good Glow has been such a gift in my life. And, you know, when I think about making friends as an adult, I don't feel like I was making that many new friends before the Good Glow, because, you know, where do you make friends as an adult? So I feel like I have, every guest that's been on my podcast is now my friend, and I speak to them all the time. And I'm so in awe of women and what we go through and what we're able to come through and create out of bad times in our life. So there's that. Like, sometimes I feel pressure. I always come back to my gut and I trust it so much. And I feel like my heart leads the way with the Good Glow, you know, and I follow my heart with it. And I think it's bringing me to amazing places and bringing me to amazing people. And, you know, that's what, when I say it's my second baby, it's because it's been so rewarding. And I'm really excited to get out and, you know, get in to the concert hall and meet people who listen to the Good Glow. But there's definitely pressure, and I do go through times of a lack of confidence a little bit. That's my truth, you know. That's how I feel sometimes. You know, when you have something that's so precious, you're so afraid it's going to be taken from you.
Yes,
but I constantly pinch myself, and I'm constantly so grateful for the conversations that I have with people.
How does anxiety show up for you?
It's a feeling in my stomach of, I actually feel physically sick when I get anxious. Jamie knows straight away when I'm anxious, which is good, because he'll talk to me. I think with the surrogacy, it's bringing up a lot of anxiety. And, you know, what you say about counseling has changed my life as well. But I know that I'm headed back to counseling right now. You know, I'm on the path. I know it needs to be done. I need to acknowledge it. And I need to lift up the phone and make the appointment.
What's stopping you?
What stopped me the first time? You know, the fear of it getting worse before it gets better. And I say to people all the time, just pick up the phone. It's the best thing you'll ever do. I need to find a way to deal to deal with what I'm going through at the moment and the what feels like a little bit of a delay in my life with my Baba, you know.
And to bring you back to Gabby Bernstein's journey, mm-hmm. Before she conceived her baby, she talks very candidly about, so I planned it all out perfectly. I was going to write the book, then I was going to go on a book tour, and then I was going to get pregnant. And so that's what she tried to manifest. She's like, it needs to fit in with my life. It needs to be here. And of course, that's not the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to believe and trust the timing is perfect. And if you can, this word surrender. Can't believe I've got through, like, how many minutes have we done? I haven't even said the word surrender. Hello. Surrender to the timing of things and say, this will happen when this is meant to happen.
Yeah, I believe that. I feel like, I don't know if you feel like this as well, that my heart is bursting with love that I want to give. Oh. I want to have a little baby in my arms and give that love. I feel like, you know, I give so much love to Pia every day and I have more to give. But maybe in the meantime, I need to be giving that love to myself.
Oh my God. Give the girl, give her an Oscar. You literally brought yourself to that. I was going to say that, but I didn't need to. That the lack that you are feeling and that need and that yearning, if you can funnel that back into you and fill yourself up, then it won't be. Because remember with the universe, right? As a student of the universe, and this always takes me by surprise. So like you're yearning for your baby and to give them. I'm yearning for my partner, for my man to show up and for me to just to be like, wrap my arms around him and just go on adventures and just laugh and joke. But actually what I'm putting out to the universe is the lack of him, is the lack of the love. I'm like, it's not here. So what's the universe going to do? You know, like attracts like. So it's sending me back the lack because I'm putting out the lack. Mm-hmm. So you put the love into you and the baby comes because your love will attract that love. And I do the same and the love comes. And meanwhile, while we're waiting to love the baby or the man, just love, full stop. Be compassionate to people. When people are rude to you, when people are mean to you, it's really difficult. I know this is so hard. Send out love, particularly in light of the year and year and a half we've had now. Nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know what. If somebody projects bitterness or anger or rudeness onto you, it's not personal. A lot of the time, it's not personal. And you just need to say, I'm sending you love. That was very unpleasant, but I'm not taking that with me, you know, because here's something, another great one I learned. Holding on to anger, holding on to resentment, right? Seething over something is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to perish. You're the one who's holding on to that anger and that angst, and it's having an impact on your life, your body. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Bat it away. Bye-bye. No thanks.
I am just so grateful to have such an amazing friend like you. These pep talks. If we weren't recording this, I would say we should be recording this and putting it out.
I am so grateful to speak to you again and to be able to share the wisdom and the life lessons that I'm learning, because that's what it's all about. That's what I want to say to you about the Good Glow community. Anytime I tap in, I go on Instagram a bit. I must say I try my best not to be on Instagram too much, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because between that and the apps, That's where my anxiety shows up. I'm like, God damn it, look how good she looks. Christ. God damn, why is nobody liking me on this app? Ah. So I try my best not to, but I must say the positivity that's bouncing out of you and of Jamie's account, you know, Piper, Pia, you know, wellness, exercise, you know, his trail running, your appearance on the Late Late. Like, you guys have been through the mill, but you are turning a desperate situation into a positive, and you're giving learnings to the world.
Thank you so much. And I feel like in a few seasons, like, I feel like you need to come back. You know, I think you are such a part of the core of the Good Glow, you know, the heart of the Good Glow, that I hope that if we're still going in a few seasons, that you'll come back and give us all a pep talk. We need it, Claire.
Well, do you know what? It feels like family. So it's like we're sitting around the kitchen table having a chat. Mm.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Lloyd's Pharmacy. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review. It really makes a difference. And you can find the Good Glow Wellness Programme over on thegoodglow.ie.